Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with our guest. I'm excited to be back after a great vacation. We can get into that later this week. But more importantly, we have some big elections coming up in New York City on November 2nd. We've already had a lot of great guests coming from New York City join us. A lot needs to change in New York City, as we discussed before, and the Democrat politicians continue to appear as far left and progressive as Bill de Blasio has been. Rob, did you see the other day, Eric Adams said illegals should be allowed to vote? We already know that they do, but to come out and say it is pretty shocking. Tonight, we're excited to have on candidate for city council, Vanessa Simon. But first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
Well, Andrew, I am doing great and glad to have you back. And no, we're not going to talk about it next week or the later on in the week. Dude, you were gone. I was holding down the fort. Well, you're off somewhere looking at God's creation in Wyoming, Utah. I saw the pictures. You were teasing me with the pictures. What is this? What's going on here? So how was the vacation, man? Don't be shy.
It was a great time. Got to go out and visit the West Coast here in Illinois. We've had a really late summer. It's been hot, about 90 degrees up until a couple of weeks ago. So I was ready to get out and experience some cool mountain air. And I definitely did there in Boise, Idaho, Eastern Oregon. And then I bussed all the way back to Illinois from Oregon because I did not want to fly back because I had some problems on my way there. The bus trip was 43 hours on a Greyhound. It was,
man.
It was quite the experience. I just got back today at 2 p.m. and I am here ready to go for After Dark and excited for the show tonight.
Now, Andrew, I hope you didn't take COVID there, or you didn't bring it back. I mean, well, for one, I thought when you told me that you were going to take the bus all the way back, I thought, is this guy crazy? Like, what happened? Did they tell him you didn't get the back, so you can't get on the plane, so you've got to take the bus? Because, you know, we're hearing that, and they're trying to push it. I heard a clip from CNN, fake news CNN, that is, and their legal expert was saying that Biden needs to do more to get people to take the vax. And she says, even if it means you can't travel, you can't get on an airplane. Like, lady, who are you? What is this? If I don't get the vax, you don't want me to fly on a plane? If you want to go to work, you better get the vax. They're putting all these restrictions on us that if you don't do what they say, this can happen. And as I have said so many times, it's just a front. The whole vaccination. It's a front. Yes, they want you to take the vaccine, but they're also testing your willpower. They're testing to see if we tell them they can't do this unless they do that, will they do it? Don't doubt me on this. Do not doubt me. Because if you think back almost to 2020, when this thing pandemic first hit us, and they were saying, no mask, and then a mask. A vax, you'll be okay. Nope, vax, still wear the mask. Biden said on more than one occasion that he did not see it necessary to mandate wearing a mask, to mandate having the vaccine, and now it's all changed. What's happening? Why did he change his mind? We were told that if you get the vax, your life, you can go back to normal. Live your life, do what you want to do. Now you can't do it. And to think that he's trying to get corporations to fire people if they don't take the vaccine. Now, I know some will say, yeah, but you got all your booster shots, your immunization records, you got all those shots. Okay, but this is different. What about national immunity? What about if we just go our merry little way? Those who've been vaxxed, good. Those who haven't, their bodies will probably build up a resistance, but that's not good enough. They want you to get the vax, and they know that a lot of people will push back. They're saying that as Trump supporters. Don't lie. Tell the truth. You have a lot of blacks that don't want to take the vax, and I understand why. A friend of mine contacted me and was saying, I don't know why blacks won't take the vaccine. I'm like, what do you mean? Why won't you get the flu shot? Have you had the flu shot? No. Why not? Well, you know, there's something in it. Oh, really? But you're saying you don't understand why Black people won't take the vaccine. And it's not just Black people. I'm hearing that people with a PhD, they don't want to take it. But the liberal media wants to spin it that Trump supporters don't want to take the vaccine. I took the vaccine. What's the big deal? But they don't care about that. And you know something else, Andrew? A dirty little secret, I think, what they're doing. Because all of this is by design. Do not doubt me on that either. It's all by design. So if people won't take the vaccine, they get fired, no money, they need a safety net, and they want to fix it so that you can't get unemployment. Who's going to work? Who's going to fill those jobs? Who's going to be at the retail stores, the supermarkets, at the docks unloading the ships? Who's going to do it? Who's going to go out in the fields and work? Oh, we've got a solution for you right now. What about all those illegal immigrants that are coming here? What about all the Afghanis that are coming here? They need to work. They need a job. And they're probably being trained right now to fill those jobs. They're probably being trained right now to drive those huge trucks. Do not doubt that this is not by design. And Biden, oh, he's already looking ahead with, well, he's probably not doing it. It's probably Valerie Jarrett and Susan Rice. They're probably mapping this all out and saying, and Barack Obama sitting in his basement in his sweats, because he did say he would like to be a shadow president. So they're probably mapping all this out. And in doing so, creating another class of voters. Do not doubt me. It may sound far-fetched, but this is what they're doing. Get rid of the American workers. If they don't want the vax, get rid of them. Can you believe it? To lose your job because you're standing up for principle, they want to fire you, and then you have judges that will agree with this. This has been in the works for some time, getting these liberal judges on the benches. And then they're going to rule on behalf of Joe Biden. And why? Do these people hate the country so much? The country that gave them so much, the country that gave them the opportunities and the liberties to have the jobs that they have. This will not end well at all. Little by little, different states are implementing these repressive requirements, mandates. New York City, the exact same thing. They're going after the police and the firemen, city and state workers. Why? Why are they doing this? But as far as the individuals that are working in the prisons, oh, don't worry about them. They don't have to be vaccinated. As far as the illegal aliens that Biden and his crew are flying here during the wee hours of the night so that no one will know about it and populating them around these different cities, oh, they don't have to be vaccinated. I guess they're immune to it. And then we wonder, why all at once are we having these upticks and these different variants in COVID-19? What's happening? Oh, it's the people who are not being vaccinated. Oh, no, it is not. What about the people coming here across the border who have not been immunized the way we have, but yet still you're going to penalize Americans, the people that are paying tax dollars, the people that are paying tax dollars that's going to these illegals. But no one is thinking, no one is stopping to think about it. And you know what else? New Yorkers, when it's time to vote, they will go and vote for these same repressive politicians, and then they will complain. Look at the crime. Why is the crime at an all-time high? Why is it? And then on top of that, they decided that racism is a health crisis in New York City. Racism. Now, I'm scratching my head on that. I want to see how they're going to resolve it, considering New York City is a liberal place. So you have the liberals who are the racist, not conservatives, liberals, but people don't stop and think. They don't connect the dots. They listen to what the media tells them and they shake their heads like sheeples. That's right. Let's still vote for these people. Garbage in, garbage out. Nothing ever changes. Meanwhile, the city is suffering, hemorrhaging, crime, violence. We have to do better. We've got to get better candidates. And the GOP has got to stop being afraid to support conservatives in these liberal blue states. Why not? What do you have to lose? Everything to gain. That is the reason why we've been having candidates on our show that are conservatives running in blue states, blue cities. But they're willing to stand up and they're willing to fight because they see that a change needs to happen. Jackie Toberoff we had on, powerful speaker. She has ideas. Dr. Debbie came on. We've got to have more people like that. And tonight we have on Vanessa Simon, another conservative who's willing to step up, who's not afraid to take on the establishment, who's not afraid, who's not going to sit back and say, oh, well, it's nothing but a liberal. They're all liberals. But I probably won't win. No, no, no. You have to be in it to win it. And we need people like that who will go the distance. Vanessa, how are you tonight? Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you so much, Andrew. After that intro, there's a lot to be upset about in the city. But thank you for having me. I know we want to jump right in.
So, Vanessa, tell me, why did you decide at this point in time to jump right in and say, hey, I'm going to do this?
I mean, I think you covered it. I think all New Yorkers see it. It's time to change gears. Just a little bit about me. I was born in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, but I was raised on Long Island from the age of 5. And I just moved to Queens about 3 years ago because I work in Manhattan at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I'm an HR. So by profession, I'm here serving the people at work and just being a resource and tool. So I'm like, let me bring it to the community. The time is now. Our city needs us. And for me, I've been a registered Republican since I was 18. I grew up in a pretty conservative household, Haitian American. I'm first generation American, Haitian parents, and that upbringing was conservative. So when it was time to register to vote, I've been a Republican. And for me, utilizing the tools as an HR, I really felt like it was time to help our fellow constituents, our neighbors, however you want to refer to it, just connect the dots and bringing it more granular. Because I think you covered mainstream media and their role in just really separating and dividing. I think it's up to us as the GOP to step up, unite first, and then go back into our communities on a local level to help everyone understand what some conservative views through our lens and how it would appeal to our communities. It's not just free, throw money at the issue. It's really coming together with strategic, actionable, pragmatic solutions to get our city back on its feet.
And we need for that to happen because where we are now, it doesn't look good at all. Well, it's not a matter of not looking good. It's not good. De Blasio has destroyed the city, he and his wife. Their focus is on something completely different. How can you be the mayor of a city that was given to you with everything running smoothly, and then you go in and systematically just tear it down? And for what? What is the purpose? Look at the crime. I live in Manhattan. I walk out on the streets. There are homeless people all over. Why is that? Why is it that we feel that living on the streets is the best place for the homeless? Go ahead, Vanessa.
I was just going to share, you covered obviously the rising crime, violence, but the homelessness and our failing schools.
Right.
Like, we really have to prepare. Like for me, I mean, quality education is one of the things that obviously that I'm really passionate about, because it's like what we are giving our children today, they're going to be taking care of us tomorrow. So it is critical that we just completely equip them with what the tools are that are needed to go forward. Our future is looking bleak if we stay on this path. And every generation,
yes.
Every generation is supposed to advance. So it's not a situation where we mean to cause any kind of mass hysteria and like Chicken Little and the sky is falling, but it really is disheartening. And it breaks my heart to see our city falling apart the way that it is. And we continue to just blindly vote along a certain way. But that is where I do say it is incumbent upon the GOP to modernize and capitalize on our messaging right now. It's not a time to come down and not connect with voters. So just a small piece, and we'll pause, is just me being more grassroots, one conversation at a time, going door to door. That's how I was able to get my petitions to be on the conservative line, the Republican line, and the Save Our City line, as well as making campaign matching funds in a 70% Democratic district. So it's like I had to make sure I was coming down, speaking to everyone on that level to connect with them. And it's not like a hierarchy level. I just meant the way mainstream media is painting the GOP, and we ourselves are just feeding into it instead of just taking a step back, going into our local communities and applying what applies to, because not every, I grew up on Long Island. I live in Queens now. They are not the same. So I wouldn't use the same messaging I would in Long Island that I would in Queens, because it doesn't pertain. You understand?
Absolutely. So, and that's what we have to do.
So for me, in order for us to really drive and get America back on its feet, we've got to start locally and we've got to build a strong foundation. And I really encourage my fellow conservatives out there. It's nothing to be scared about. It's nothing to be, oh my God, the left. It's like, no, let's get smart. We're the more sensible party. And that's why I always loved being a proud Republican. It's because it always resembled the integrity, the sensible route. We have action. We don't just throw money at the issue, not to refer to that again, but that's pretty much it. It's like, no, let's have it within reason and let's have a solution to get everyone back on their feet.
And we need that. We need solutions. Now, you mentioned that your background is Haiti. Tell us a little about that, because a lot of people don't see Blacks as being conservative.
I mean, even in Haiti, they had a merit-based process where it's like, you want the best of the best, right? When my grandparents, prior to coming to this country, it was based off a merit system, making sure that when they applied to come their working visa, coming in the right way. It's just that whole household. It's just faith, family, religion, and just having those conservative values, even from a fiscal perspective. So that's all I've ever known, so to speak. So when we came to this country in pursuit of that happiness and that freedom, I mean, you know, nothing makes me more proud than to see, have my grandparents see me running for office, because that is the life they had wanted for me. That's why we left Haiti.
How do you see your run so far, as far as has it been received by the folks in your district?
It has been, but getting the support from those that could help amplify my platform has been the more frustrating thing.
I've heard that across the board from different conservatives that have been running, that the GOP, both on the national and the local level, aren't always supportive of these candidates because in their view, it's a blue state. It's a blue district. We're not going to win.
I didn't necessarily mean it just in regards to the GOP. My statement that I just said, because I'm going to come back to that point. Just within my district, like, for example, if you go to my social media, Vanessa4NY, Instagram, Facebook, what have you, I did post a video just sharing, like, I went to my local church because I'm Catholic. And, you know, just asking if I could just speak to my parish. And the priest gave me such a hard time for being a Republican. And I was just like, listen, I just think as humans, like anyone, we just need choices in life. And like, this is just an opportunity for me to provide that choice and option for our community. And he gave me the, you know, don't call us, we'll call you. And then after I followed up 2 weeks later, he had his receptionist tell me, that, you know, he's not going to have me come speak. So, I mean, that's one example of many. But when I'm door to door speaking to people, they are so disheartened and frustrated by just the lack of public safety, failing schools, quality of life. There's garbage everywhere. They're just like, we don't care what party you are, as long as you get us out of this mess.
And I think that's what a lot of people are looking at, if we can get that message out there. But has the party as a whole been supportive of your run for this position?
I have to say, yes, they have been supportive. But I don't think the GOP party has a full scope on just how much we need a grassroots movement here in New York, because my long-term goal is to flip the state red.
Until that's beautiful.
until the GOP, until the GOP sees that we do need to get boot, it's more than just endorsements. It's more than just fundraising events. It's getting out there, because you have to understand, the Democrats, they know in their minds they're going to win. And remember, with our failing schools, they don't even offer civics anymore. So half the time when I'm having these conversations, I'm helping them explain what the role of city council does. What does mayor do? You know what? Let me tell you about your census. And they really are like, really? I didn't know. So while the Democrats are just like, you know, skipping to victory in their minds, they're leaving these communities that are truly just dumbfounded at like what's happening, but they don't know how it happened that way and who's responsible for it. So that's where the GOP strategically can go in from a grassroots level and equip everyone with the knowledge, resources, and tools and flip their local districts. I promise you that that's the cheat code.
A grassroots, that's what has to happen in order to go into these particular areas. Because if we don't, we'll always be sitting on the sidelines, hoping and dreaming. But like you said, it could happen if we're strategic about it.
From an HR perspective, every time I speak, I'm like, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Bingo.
So your messaging matters. I can't stress that enough. Remember, me raised on Long Island is not the same as me being in Queens. Yep. So to my fellow GOPers out there, whatever district you're in, make sure you're tailoring whatever the policies you are chasing after or promoting on your platform. Make sure that it resonates with the people that live in the districts. You understand? Like for me, obviously, we want to talk about police, violence, and crime, but being 70% Democrat and about 80% Black and Brown community, I can't go in there without being like, hey, we got to fix and bridge the gap between police and community. I can't go in there strong, like, yeah, back the blue and just ignore what issues are going on inside that community without being like, you know what? We got to see what's going on both sides. We got to make sure our police officers are equipped and have the proper training and have the backing. And we have to make sure the community feels safe, respected, and they know their rights. And we need to bring them back together so that our police officers feel like they can do their job adequately and that they are respected again. Right? Who's having that conversation? And as an HR, that's what I do all day, de-escalating conversations, bringing people together. And that's why I felt like I was like, this is the time for me to step up.
You're absolutely right, Vanessa. And you're in New York City every single day. We've all obviously seen the numbers of people leaving the city and some of these far left politicians like Alexandria Cortez, Bill de Blasio being elected out of New York. Do you think people are finally starting to wake up and of what is going on?
Absolutely. I think it's you can't ignore it. That's as simple as I could say it. Like, I feel like everybody's feeling it. No one really knows the right way out, right? And everyone's just waiting for like, and I have to be honest, like, I think that the way things are going in our city right now, it's an awakening for everyone. And this is the time for the GOP to strike while the iron's hot on several issues across the board. So everyone keeps talking about 2022 and running, but it's like now, right now is when we really start planting seeds and really posturing ourselves to have a good placement throughout the city.
Yeah, agreed. Thank you so much, Vanessa. What is the best place people could go to support your campaign?
Vanessa, the number 4ny.com, and head on over to Instagram for Vanessa 4ny. It's the same handle on Twitter and Facebook as well.
Vanessa 4ny.com. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. You're tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the shows. We'll be back with more After Dark with Robin Andrew.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, Healthy Cell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM Sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
And we're back after dark with Rob and Andrew. And I am not flying solo tonight because Andrew decided to come back home and join me. And I'm glad about that. So we'll be speaking with Andrew about his road trip. But the top of the hour, we're speaking with Vanessa Simon, who's running for city council in Queens, New York. Glad to have her on because we always want to bring on up-and-coming conservatives who are making a difference. And she's definitely a person who's making a difference because she's running in an all-blue area district. And as I've said before, Andrew, you know, Republicans have got to get out there. And they've got to make it happen. They can't be afraid to go into those blue states, blue city councils, blue town halls, and just say, hey, I am running, because you don't see the Democrats being shy about it. They get out there and they run. I mean, I think about Thomas Kenneth, who's running for a public defender in New York City. I mean, the guy is really good, and he's running against a wackadoodle. Again, these people don't mind getting out there with their crazy ideas and running. And you know what? They'll get the votes because they're out there and they're in the faces. We have got to do the same thing. We've got to start running like it was no tomorrow, because if we don't, my biggest fear is that we will lose this country. You look at around you, you look at everything that's happening. Today's or the other day is supposed to be National Pronouns Day. What the heck is National Pronouns Day? He, she, it, they, them, we, he. It's ridiculous. But they want us to buy into it. Yes, they want us to buy into it. And if we don't, you'll possibly get fired from your job, just like you'll get fired. They're trying to fire people who don't want to take the vaccine. Dr. Rachel Levin, or Levine, makes history as the nation's first openly transgender four-star admiral. She's supposed to be doing something.
Oh, my God.
She's supposed to be doing something in the Biden administration. This person should have never been let near that office. Why is it that they couldn't get a biological woman for that position? They've never had a biological woman for the position. They've never had a Black woman for the position. Why did they have to hopscotch over all of those protected classes and pick her or him? He is a male.
What bathroom is he using there in the military facilities? You have to wonder.
You know, yeah. And I saw the confirmation hearing. And Senator Rand Paul was asking her. Him. I don't even know. We're asking Dr. Levin. Do you subscribe to the idea that kids should take hormonal drugs at a very young age? And the response was, I would love to come to your office and discuss this with you and your staff, because it's a more technical, a more detailed conversation that has to be had. He would ask her another question, and the doctor would say the same thing over and over again. So the Democrat said, hey, this is what you need to say. This person should have never been voted on, should have never been given the clearance. I'm sorry. You can say that, oh, you're transphobic, you're transgender. No, I am not. But what I am saying is that we can't keep pushing this stuff as if though it's normal. And this doctor is supposed to be a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And you know what else? Back in the day, when he was in school, he went to school with General Miley. You guys, look it up. They went to school together. I'm sorry. What has happened within 9 months? Look at how Biden has just screwed up stuff. I'm not saying this person shouldn't have a job, but you hopscotched over all these other protective classes, mainly women, biological women, and you're going to put this person there. For what for? To make a point? This would be the first and the last. Just to make a point. And the same person, Dr. Levin, when COVID hit, Dr. Levin removed Dr. Levin's mom from a nursing home and placed her somewhere else because Dr. Levin was afraid that the mom might get COVID. Dr. Mom had these special treatments. I'm sorry, not Dr. Mom, but Dr. Levin had these special treatments for the doctor's mom. No one else could do that. Dr. Levin was not even questioned about it. Special treatment. This is Dr. Levin. He's supposed to be this four-star whatever. We got to stop. This has got to stop, Andrew. This is crazy. This is just ridiculous. Pronoun Day. The other day, it was National Come Out Day. The National This Day. The National That Day. All of these days that they're having. And what for?
Don't forget, it's always Columbus Day here on America Out Loud. But
always Columbus Day.
What do they call it in New York now? Indigenous Day. I can't even say it.
Indigenous Day. The Italians would say Columbus Day, and they had their Columbus Parade. But the others would say Indigenous Day. The people who claim to be so woke. And it's funny how the wokeness is coming back and destroying these same people. Like, where do we go from here? But, you know, this is how they roll, Andrew, with all this craziness. And like I said, at the top of the hour, illegal aliens being flown around in the dark of night secretly to all these different locations. And they're minors. So why are you flying minors from the border to New York City Florida and Texas states that you think you can flip. Why are you flying them there? They can't vote. Well, they shouldn't be voting. But of course, they will be allowed to vote. And that's something else that I don't like about Eric Adams, because Eric Adams, who's running for mayor of New York City, just said that he thinks that illegal aliens should be allowed to vote in local elections, like school board. What? First, it starts with the local and then the general. Republicans have got to get their shit together, okay? Excuse me, but they've got to get it together, because the Democrats are not playing. They see an opening and they're going to take it. They don't care about anyone else. It's all about changing the electoral so that they can have Democrats for years to come. And not even about Democrats, it's socialism. They want socialism. And I look at Joe Biden, and in a way, I feel kind of sorry for him and sad, because the man is suffering from dementia. You cannot tell me that he isn't. The man, he has a problem. Why aren't they demanding that he take a test? Why haven't they said he needs a physical? Remember when Trump took his physical and they were all coming out? Well, does he have high blood pressure? And then someone had the audacity to say, were there any venereal diseases? The leader of the free world, they had no shame. And if you ask Joe Biden a simple question, they're all over you. Joe, why are you flying illegal aliens around the country? Oh, how dare you ask the president that? This is a woke people, the woke dummies, the dummies that Joe Biden is going to replace with illegal aliens. They don't see it. They don't get it. They're thinking, oh, we're being generous. We want everybody here. We're all immigrants anyway. No, the hell we aren't. We are not all immigrants. Stop buying into that stupidity. If you're born in America, you are an American. I don't care if you had ancestors from Scotland or Ireland or Great Britain, Paris, wherever, Africa. You were born in America. You are an American. Stop feeding into this narrative that you're an immigrant, because you're not. Stop feeding into the narrative that this country belonged to the Native Americans. No, it does not. They don't own diddly squat. And we should stop giving them all these preferential treatments. It needs to end. When there is a lawsuit, there is a beginning and an end. You go to a trial, you have the lawsuit so that you can get compensation. They give you your money and that's it. It doesn't go on for perpetuity, that you're just constantly getting money. So why are we constantly giving Indians money? What for? These casinos. And they make money from that. And they still can't get it right. What happened to them happened years ago. It's time to get over and move forward. We've got to stop creating these protective classes of people and realize that we're not perfect. Mistakes were made. But if we're going to fly all these people all across the country, and then eventually someone's going to say, oh, well, we mistreated them because we didn't give them an opportunity. Okay, let's write out a check. Write out a check for what? Using my taxpayer money. I mean, Andrew, can you imagine? They're flying these people all over the nation.
Well, Rob, sadly, I can't imagine it. As I mentioned at the top of the show, I just got off that 43-hour Greyhound bus, and the type of people you meet is truly incredible. I'd say it's definitely the bottom 1% of society, probably economically. Just so many crazy stories on that bus. But one thing that really stood out to me is almost every single bus stop, you'd be picking up a couple Spanish people. They speak no English, and you're just quite skeptical if these people are legal immigrants, of course. And then they just keep adding up on the bus. They just kept adding up every single stop and then getting off all over the country, Wyoming, Nebraska, Denver, Colorado. They're getting dropped off all over. So in my mind, Joe Biden has probably got a deal with Greyhound where he's busing these illegals all over the country as well.
Yep, probably so. Probably has a deal. One-stop shopping. Give me two and I'll let them go all across the nation. How did you survive 48 hours in?
Well, it was quite the interesting experience, let me tell you. Like I said, some of the people that you meet on these buses is quite the once-in-a-lifetime experience. Certainly, I'd never been through a bus trip that long. I don't know if I would recommend it to other people, unless if you don't mind traveling by yourself and then amongst a lot of sketchy people, to say the least.
Sketchy
that ride these Greyhound buses. Yes, there was a certain bus stop, I think in Sterling, Nebraska. We stopped off at the bus stop, and this guy gets off the bus, and all of a sudden, cops just surround our bus, and they arrest this guy as soon as he walks off the bus. I have no idea what that was all about. But
it was he a black guy, white guy, or a
he was a white guy. He was coming from Washington State. He'd been on the bus with me all the way from Boise. So this guy was on the bus for like 30 hours. And then as soon as he takes a step off the bus, he gets arrested. It's like, oh, man, so, that guy had a bad day.
So what did he look like? He was a criminal, or could you like profile him? I mean, what did he look like?
Oh, for sure. The first time I seen the guy, I mean, he's like, looks like one of those like San Francisco tweakers where he's like, you know, like shaking all over the place and talking all fast. And this is just a consistent theme on these Greyhound buses. So let me warn you guys, if you decide to take a long trip on Greyhound, please keep your stuff on you and be safe, because there are definitely a lot of sketchy people that go through these Greyhound terminals.
You know, and at one point, riding the bus used to be like a big deal. People loved riding the bus. Now, I've taken the bus from New York to Canada, and it was okay. It was an okay bus ride. I can't remember how many hours. I want to say like 6 or 10 hours, but it was a great ride. I enjoyed it because I was able to see upstate New York. When I was in college, I would take the bus from my hometown to my college town. I think that was all about probably 7 hours. And it wasn't, you know, it was okay. Greyhound, it wasn't sketchy at all. But I can't imagine taking it for 30 or 43 hours. Now, I would like to take a train ride from New York City to the West Coast. And I heard that it's really beautiful. My only gripe about these trips is that the stops, the constant stops. I don't want like every state or every 15 minutes, there's a stop. I've taken the bus from New York to Boston. Great. Love that trip. But if I had to take it from New York all the way like you did to the West Coast, and there's like a 50 zillion stops, I would probably go insane. And I really couldn't see myself doing it on the Greyhound bus, unless they're like plush seats and all this other stuff. But like you said, you have all the dins and deans of society that are there. But did you encounter any like illegal aliens that were that were probably trying to go from one area to the next, then connect with a relative here and go there?
Yeah, that's certainly what it looked like. And every time they'd get on the bus, it seems like they all know each other because they just start chatting it up. And of course, they don't think anyone can understand what they're saying. Fortunately for them, I can't. But whatever they were talking about, it seemed like they were very excited to be going to wherever they were going. And as I said, they were getting dropped off all over Colorado, Nebraska, Wyoming, Oregon, Idaho. It's just, I think this problem is just blowing up, and it's only going to get worse in this Joe Biden administration. And I feel like I've seen it firsthand this past week, just how bad it is getting with all of these suspected illegals getting on the bus.
And quiet as it's kept, no one will say anything about it. It's as if though it is normal, them going from place to place, repopulating different cities and towns. And that's pretty much what's happening. Joe Biden and his administration have looked at the map and they've said, oh, well, there's deficits here. There aren't a lot of people. So let's send the folks there. I always look at the 100,000 Afghanis that have come here that are living at different Air Force bases that aren't being used the way they used to be used. And they set up these little towns. Eventually, they will carve it out, gerrymandering, and then they will label it a town or whatnot. And then there you have a huge swath of voters. This is by design. You guys might get tired of me saying it, but trust me, this is what's happening. They're creating this so that the next generation of voters will vote Democrat. Look at Nancy Pelosi. She doesn't care. She's old. She's one foot on a banana peel and the other foot in the grave. Let's just be honest. The same thing with Joe. So these people are looking at leaving a legacy behind them. And Republicans, conservatives have got to wake up and realize what's happening and start grooming future candidates. There's no reason that we should be only in the areas that we're in Texas and Georgia. I mean, those states are being inundated with liberals, they've screwed up states like New York and California. So where do they head to? To the red states for a better life, because they know that there are rules and regulations and there are laws there. They screwed up the laws in the other places. We don't want the laws. We don't want bail. We don't want this. We don't want that. I was watching the news the other day, and I saw the story about an illegal alien raping a woman on a train in Pennsylvania. Illegal alien had been in the country, I think, for almost 10 years, came as a student. The student visa expired. And he decided to just blend in with everyone else, had a rap sheet as long as your arm. He had done sexual deviant behavior before. So he gets on the train, starts harassing this woman. She says to leave me alone. He pretends as if though he knows her. And apparently on the train, he started to undress her and rapes her. Now, I don't even want to get this image in my head, but I would think, like, did she fight back? Why didn't the other people help her? Because there were people on the train taking pictures of this. Now, they were knuckleheads, they were idiots, and they should be charged, but maybe they were afraid to intervene, and they weren't afraid to take a picture and post it. But here's the question that I have. Why wasn't this guy kicked out of the country? I'll tell you why, Andrew. Because we have liberal judges, we have moderate judges, we even have judges who claim to be conservatives that will look at his case and say, oh, well, he had a hard life. Let's cut him a break. Cut him a break? You don't cut Americans breaks. He should have been kicked out on his keister.
Exactly.
Build the freaking wall. We need the freaking wall. When Trump comes back into office, yes, I said back into office in 2024, or whomever else, start the wall. I don't care about any other, well, we need money for this, we need money for that. Well, that's going to wait. We're going to put up the freaking wall. We need to protect our border. Why is it that we're the only country, so it seems, that can't protect this border? Why is it that we have all these people coming here in our country? We need to round them up and send them out. I don't care if they had children that were born here, kick them out. And we need to amend the Constitution to clearly state no anchor babies. Simply because you came here and your child was born here does not mean that kid is an automatic American. We need to revisit that. And I've spoken about that before as to why that's that way. It was because of slaves. When the slaves were born here, they want to say, well, you're not American. Well, what other country do they know? You brought them here. You can't now say that, oh, they're not an American. So that needs to be revisited. These anchor babies, and it's just not people coming at the border. People as a whole, if you come here and you're pregnant, and if you have a kid, hey, tough luck. That kid is not an American. It has to change. You're only an American if your parents are Americans. And if they're not, that kid is wherever you came from, that's where that kid belongs. Now, you might say, oh, that's so harsh. Now, if I were a white person saying that, you would say that I'm a racist, but I'm black. But even with that, the left would still say I'm a racist. And I find it interesting because they'll say blacks can't be racist because they don't control anything or own anything. But the moment you think outside of the box and what they want you to think, Andrew, oh, all at once, then you get to have a race car. You are now a racist. Only in the minds of liberals. Only in their minds. So, Andrew, you saw it all during your 43-hour road trip.
Yeah, that's definitely an understatement right there. Just about everything except what you would consider high-class people, I would say, on that Greyhound trip. Like I said, it was a very different situation than anything I have done before. And as far if you're looking for holiday travel, I would most likely look into flying, taking the train, or maybe renting a car or driving out there yourself. Because Greyhound, maybe it's because of this pandemic and a lot of other people aren't busing right now. but Greyhound definitely has a lot of issues going on at their bus stations. And a lot of these drivers, I think it's we're seeing this all over the country with these people who work now with there's such a labor shortage. A lot of these people who work act like you should be so grateful to them because they're actually working and earning a living. I mean, they just treat these passengers like absolute crap. It makes no sense because they are the paying customers. They should be getting some sort of customer service, but that's not the case on these Greyhound buses. These drivers act like they're just doing you a huge favor because they're coming into work to drive you to your location.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. The drivers on the buses, were they being respectful? And, you know, and that's another problem with Americans. We, in these service jobs, a lot of them have attitudes. And as I have always said, in my opinion, the best service jobs are individuals with the best behavior and service. Chick-fil-A. Have you ever gone to a Chick-fil-A, Andrew?
I have not. I don't think we have one here in Peoria, Illinois, unfortunately.
You know, we just got it, I want to say about a year or 2 years ago. I'd heard so many people talk about Chick-fil-A. Oh, Chick-fil-A this, Chick-fil-A that, chick. And I'm like, what the heck is a Chick-fil-A? So we got one. And I was extremely impressed that they had people, I think it's stationed in Georgia or someplace, had people to actually come up and train the workers as to how to treat the customers. Now, this is New York City. So, you know, New York City, people have an attitude. But man, when you go to a Chick-fil-A, it is like heaven. They treat you with such respect. They're nice. They're kind. They're not flippant. They walk up to you. Can I take your order? Can I this? And I've been there on more than one occasion. Now, to me, the food is like, okay. I'm a bit of a, you know, kind of stickler when it comes to eating certain foods and going to restaurants. But customer service is on point. They should take it and bottle it and send it to a lot of other places here in New York because the customer service is not so great. It's like, I'm doing you a favor because I showed up for work and I'm serving you. Like, really? Like, oh, yeah, okay. And you're taking my money and I'm paying your salary? Yeah, okay. So what you're saying about the drivers, I'm not at all surprised. I'm surprised that a lot of them even have their jobs, but they're probably thinking, hey, you better be glad that I got up this morning because there is a shortage. And if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be able to get on the bus and go from one destination to the next. I mean, like I said, in the other hour, you look at what they're doing with the big trucks. They're training college students to drive them because they don't have workers. Because Joe Biden is busy trying to, he's either, look at it, he's either paying people not to work or he's keeping you from working because you don't want to take the vaccine. Now, what kind of sense does that make? And this is how they're going to employ the illegal aliens. They're going to put such a strain on the workforce that people are going to start saying, we need workers. And who will they introduce them to? Illegal aliens. They will fill in the gaps. And then we'll be wondering what the heck happened. And then the next thing, oh, let's give them citizenship. Another hopscotch, like the hopscotch over the women for transgenders. They're going to hopscotch over the American workers for illegal aliens and then push for them to get become citizens. Now, you might think this is far-fetched. People might say, oh, this is so far-fetched. But you look at Joe Biden. He didn't even campaign, and he's sitting in the White House claiming to be the president. He goes out on the road. He's stumbling. He's mumbling. He has dementia, and no one is saying anything about it. Nothing. Now, if we're successful, Andrew, in taking the Senate and the House in 2022, I hope these people have the nerves, the kuhanas, to say he needs to have a physical and we want to see it. And I hope they push it. But I don't know. Lindsey Graham might say, oh, don't worry about it. Mitch McConnell, oh, no, we don't need it. Like, really? You don't want, like, this guy has dementia. And history will come out eventually and we'll talk about it. That he won the election and he had dementia. No, he didn't win. It was stolen. And as a result, the country is falling apart. All of this is thanks to Joe Biden. Supply chain issues, Joe Biden. Food shortage, Joe Biden. When I hear people, oh, well, it's not that, you know, we've just got to, you know, rethink. No, we don't have to rethink. He screwed up royally. And no one is calling him out the way they should. Andrew, I think it's just a disgrace that this man is at the top. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it almost feels like what the Democrats are doing here is they're trying to tear apart good old-fashioned capitalism, and so they can usher in socialism. Right now, it's a labor shortage, but I have a feeling after a couple more years of Joe Biden and the Democrats, it's going to be where these jobs aren't going to want to hire anybody. And then you're going to have a situation where Americans can't find jobs, and people are going to be begging for more freebies from the Democrats to save them. I think that is their long-term goal.
Yeah, they will be begging for more freebies. Save us. I mean, and you look at it, like I said, it's by design. They've set it up. You can see what's happening. Just look around and you can say, wait a minute. They don't want us to work. They want to give us money. And then when we do go to work, they want us to be vaccinated. And if we're not, we're fired. Look at the police shortage. They were saying defund the police. They saw that there was a pushback. So now what they'll do is say, well, no one wants to be a police officer because they don't want to be vaccinated. No, that's not it. You wanted to defund the police, and this is how you're going to get around it, by saying, if you're not vaccinated, we're going to kick you out. And it's all, as always, like clockwork, is all of these big cities that are doing it. Big liberal cities, California, New York, Chicago. And then you have a dumb liberal judge who will say, oh yeah, you can let it go. If they don't do it, get rid of them. After years of service for their community. Shameful. So Andrew, tell me, what is it like to be back on After Dark with Rob and Andrew? I think this is probably our 98th show. We're coming up on the 100th show at American Out Loud. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. And it feels great to be on America Out Loud, and it feels great to be back on air. You know, Rob and I have been doing this show for a few years now, and even when I was on vacation, Rob's constantly sending me articles. We're discussing them. We have such a great time doing this show and bringing you guys the real news. And we appreciate you guys who listen to America Out Loud. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out on all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com, who just celebrated its 5th anniversary. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. Remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.